بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 7th of May in the year 2024 and Alhamdulillah we moved on to the 95th night that we're going through the blessed and noble life of the illustrious companion Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. And I've reached a point where I've mentioned that the arbitration between the two noble judges is taking place. And yesterday I mentioned the fabricated version. And again, no devilish elements trying to target the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which apparently Amr ibn al-As deceived Abu Musa and the whole arbitration broke down. So what therefore happened? So Qadi Abu Bakr, rahmatullah alayh, he therefore rightly clarified that the reliable reports recorded in Dar-Qutni, Khalifa ibn Khayyat, all from Imam Bukhari sheikhs with sahih chains, simply establish that Sayyidina Abu Musa and Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu anhuma had simply agreed to disagree with regards to what course of action should be taken to avenge the death of Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu. Refer also to Qadi Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi in his much valued work Al-Awasim min al-Qawasim, The Defense Against Disaster, page 172 to 180 for full details. So, again, note what happened. They got together, they spent a lot of time trying to charter out the best way. Unfortunately, they couldn't come to an agreement. So they amicably parted ways. Nothing was agreed to. And they, like you say, in today's day and age, they agreed to disagree. There was no milish masala where one of them could, you know, lied against the other and there was a twisting of the arm. There was none of that. And they returned back to their respected camps. And if you want more details, you can look at the work Al-Awasim min al-Qawasim, and the title of the book says it all, The Defense Against Disaster. Meaning that if you want to know the authentic reports of history, this will protect you. So this precious work, Al-Awasim min al-Qawasim, is an authoritative and authentic reference to any serious student of Islamic history to correctly understand the events after our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sad passing that has caused so much needless suffering and controversy. So that's what happened. They agreed to disagree and nothing came in terms of a fruit from the arbitration. So the next section entitled The Accursed Khawarij Reemergence. So as was but inevitable, the Ummah was now in that very condition in which Anas radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved Messenger had said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَكُونُ فِي أُمَّةِ اخْتِلَافًا وَفُرْقًا. There will be amongst my Ummah differences and sectarianism. This is in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad number 13,036. So again, note whatever the Prophet says comes true sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, there's going to be ikhtilaf in my ummah, meaning a difference of opinion or differences of opinion. And then he says, wa furqa, meaning also leading to sectarianism. Subhanallah, after what the Khawarij believe was the breakdown of negotiation, this accursed band started to incite trouble again with statements. We asked Ali radiallahu anhu to throw away the agreement, but he did not listen to us. Thus, if he confesses his guilt and repents, we are with him. If not, we will rise against him. Astaghfirullah. So this is the sort of gibberish they started coming out with. They started saying that these whole talks were batil, and they were saying that judgment only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's actually a verse mentioning that. So they're saying, what's this about putting humans as judges? So he goes, this is wrong from the very moment it started. And if Amirul Mu'mineen repents from that, we will reunite with him. If he doesn't, we will oppose and fight and rise against him. They thus asked the Amir al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhu to scrap the mandate. Otherwise, they would leave him and oppose both him and Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu. A large group thus parted from the forces of Ali during his return from Siffin to Kufa, in numbers being either 8,000 or 14,000. Refer to Al-Bidayah 7-280. Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid 6-235, Sahih, mentioning 8,000. 14,000 mentioned by Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf 10-157 to 160, graded Hassan. So it's very important to highlight the numbers and also when did it happen. So they were returning from Siffin to Kufa. So it's after the Battle of Siffin. They're returning, they broke off. And you can safely say around 10,000 broke off. So it was a huge number. It wasn't just like a few individuals here and there. And it was a large section of Hazrat Ali's forces. So like I mentioned, when you say he had problems, always bear in mind it wasn't just one or two or a couple of, or a handful, even 100. There was thousands. This was one part which broke off from him. Thus around 10 to 20% of his entire force had now broken off from the Amir al-Mu'mineen. For in Al-Bidayah 7-265, it mentions his entire force was around 150,000. Whilst Tariq ibn Khayyat, page 193, Hassan states they were around 50,000. So what's the authentic? The weak report is in Al-Bidayah. It mentions 150,000. The authentic report mentions 50,000. So if a 10,000 have left, that's 20%. So one-fifth of his entire force or thereabouts has broken off from him. These people parted from the army before it reached Kufa in stages, which caused alarm bells to rise amongst the companions of Ali radiallahu. The Khawarij, as a result, left Ali's camp radiallahu and declared, A'udhu Billah, that he and Muawiyah were both kafirs, astaghfirullah, and their blood could now legally be spilt. This is one of their glaring traits. If anybody disagrees with them, instead of just having a difference, they go to the extremes. So they said that they're both unbelievers and now their blood is lawful. News reached the Amir al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu that the Khawarij had organized their group, appointing a leader for Salah and another for fighting, and they had also pledged allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to enjoining the good, forbidding the evil. All of this meant that they now had actually broken away from the main body of the Muslims. So they weren't a rabble. They were organized. And they basically made their own group, and they had an Amir, and it clearly showed they had broken, like the Prophet said, the firqa, to the Lord. Subhanallah, even these turn of events were foretold by our beloved messenger. Where? To the Lord. It is related that when Ali radiallahu, whilst writing out the agreement at Hudaybiyah, he could not erase Muhammad al-Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and write instead Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He couldn't do it sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus our beloved messenger said to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, write it, for truly you shall also suffer something similar and be treated unjustly. This is recorded in Bayhaqi in his Dalail al-Nubu'ah, Ibn Ishaq, Imam Suyuti in his Khasa'is 1-188, Sira al-Halabiyya 2-707, Khuzai in his Takhrij al-Dilalat, page 178. So look at this amazing statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, Ali was writing on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah told him, write on behalf of Rasulullah, Muhammad al-Rasulullah. So the representative of the unbelieving Quraysh, Suhail ibn Amr, who later became a Sahaba radiallahu anhu, he goes, I don't believe you, Rasulullah. We don't believe this. Write instead Muhammad ibn Abdullah, because that's true. So for the sake of the treaty, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said to Ali, erase Muhammadur Rasulullah, erase it, and write Muhammad ibn Abdullah. So Ali, out of love, he couldn't do it. Imagine, nobody could defeat him on the battlefield. Nobody could get the better of him. But his love for the Prophet was so, he couldn't do it. He goes, I can't do it, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So look what the Prophet said to him. You know, think about this. How can you compare anything to the Prophet in terms of prophecy? He goes, write it. For truly, you shall suffer something similar and be treated unjustly. So imagine, Ali's thinking, what did the Prophet just say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, something's gonna happen to me, like it's happening to you now. What was he referring to? The Khawarij. They're gonna erase his title unjustly. They're gonna be unjust to him. So again, how did the Prophet, and nobody asked him, tell us about your cousin. You know, because Allah Ta'ala is inspiring him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For the Khawarij had blurted out, if Ali radiallahu was truly the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he would never have agreed to the truce. Thus, he must be the Amir of the Kafirs. Astaghfirullah, Amir al-Kafirin. This was their perverted logic. Because he opened up talks, that was a clear sign he's a Kafir. Indeed, in a report, they had said to the Amir al-Mu'mineen, whilst debating with him, you came out of the garment that Allah the Almighty clothed you with, and from the name by which Allah Ta'ala named you. Then you went and made a judgment in the religion of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, whilst there is no rule except for Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in Ahmad in his Musnad, volume 1, page 86. Hafiz ibn Kathir in his Al-Bidayah, volume 7, page 28, stated, Ahmad alone recorded it, his chain is sahih, and Adiyah chose it for his choice collection. So this is a sahih hadith. So what did they say, these wretches, to Amir al-Mu'mineen? They go, you've come out of the garment, meaning the Khilafat. Allah gave you a name, Amir al-Mu'mineen, you've got rid of that as well. And then he says, you have made a judgment in the deen, and only Allah Ta'ala can make judgments. Meaning you open up these talks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us from thinking we know better than the illustrious chosen companions of our beloved messenger. This is the huge lesson. The huge lesson is every sect think they know better. Look how beautiful and simple that is. If somebody goes to you, how many sects in Islam? I don't know, brother. But I'll tell you one thing. Every one of them think they know better than Sahaba. When I actually read that, I thought, you know, you start thinking, let me just apply that. I couldn't think of any sect. Every single sect under the sun, you can call them whatever you want. You can say, do they have a problem with Sahaba? Yes. So who are the most famous? The Rawafid. 99% of the Sahaba, they say, have gone lost. There you go. Khawarij. Then you got Mutazila, the rationalists. Then you got the Qadariya, who don't believe in Qadr. And what happens when they're told the Sahaba? They go, oh no, they don't understand. So what is that telling you? What's that telling you is that all of Rasulullah's students were guided. Look how simple the matter, every one of them, 100% passed it. Indeed, one should not find it strange that these wretches broke off from the ranks of Amir al-Mu'mineen, because this was a common trait of theirs. They did it all the time. So let me give you an example. Sheikh Abdul Karim al-Sharrahstani in his Al-Milal wa Al-Nihal 1-118, Ziyad ibn Abih, he relates, the Kharij Urwa ibn Hudair, so he was one of the Khawarij, Urwa ibn Hudair, he escaped from the battle of Nahrawan and he survived until the days of Muawiyah radiallahu. So the battle of Nahrawan was where Ali unleashed and he wiped him out. But one or two escaped. This was one of the shaitans that escaped. What was his name? Urwa ibn Hudair. He lived till Muawiyah's Khalifat radiallahu. Then he came to Ziyad ibn Abih, accompanied by a freedman of his, Ziyad asked him about Abu Bakr and Umar. Radiyallahu anhuma. He goes, O Urwa, O Khalid, what's your view about Abu Bakr and Umar? Radiyallahu anhuma. He said they were good. And the Khawarij, they say that they have nothing against the two sheikhs, because they acted upon the commands. They were good, noble people. Then he asked him, what about Uthman? Radiyallahu anhuma. The Khariji said, I used to be a close supporter of Uthman in his early state for 6 years. Then I washed my hands of him after that due to the innovations he invented, for he disbelieved at the end of his life. So Ziyad, biting his lip, he asked him, what about Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali? What's your view about him? Radiallahu anhu. So the shaitan said, I used to be his close supporter. He too was good at the beginning until he appointed judges. Then I washed my hands of him after that, for he too became a kafir. So Ziyad biting his lip, he goes, what about Muawiyah? Radiallahu. He then swore about him, reviled him ignominiously. So Ziyad goes, take his head off. And he was killed. So now, why is this an interesting report? Because that sums up the Khawarij. They didn't just do it to Ali, they did it to Uthman. The Khawarij killed him. Radiallahu. But look what they said. At the beginning they were good. Who the hell are you to judge the Sahaba? But then at the end they became corrupt. Not just corrupt, they became kafirs. So we killed Uthman. His blood was lawful. What about Ali? Same. Because we also got rid of him. Then when he talked about Muawiyah, he didn't even speak, he just swore. He goes, this, that. He goes, take his head off. I've had enough of this shaitan. Notice the common denominator that they considered the companions to have erred and they being correct. Indeed, a vile trait of all deviants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us. Ameen. So now, not to defend them or to show any veneration for them, they have something which the Rawafid don't. They loved the two sheikhs. So Abu Bakr and Umar, they loved. Because they just remain solid. The Rawafid even take them out. So if push comes to shove, you can say, well, Khawarij have got something better than at least they had love for the two sheikhs, but that's not defending them. But to be fair to them, you shouldn't say that they had problems with the two sheikhs. It's with Uthman and Ali. But don't forget, initially they didn't have problems with them. Then they found fault, thinking they knew better. And in brief, I'll just mention this briefly. Ali, he had to deal with the Khawarij. Because these wretches, they were going around killing people. So to cut a long narration short, they killed a companion of Rasulullah. Khabab ibn al-Arat, he was a very early companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had a son, Abdullah radiyallahu, and his wife was pregnant. So to cut a long narration short, they killed Abdullah because he respected Ali. And they not only killed his wife, they opened her stomach, took the unborn child out. After they've done this, they're going further down, and then one of them picks a fruit off a tree. Another Khawarij goes, Astaghfirullah. He goes, you can't just eat fruits. Did you get permission? And then everybody's, if you look at the madness of these people, did you just kill Sahaba? And you're worried about whether this is, haram. That's the Khawarij people. So anyway, Hazrat Ali heard about this. He goes, hand over those who killed his companion. He goes, we're only interested in them because we all killed him. So Ali realized they wanted in a war. So Ali radiallahu anhu, to quote a long narration short, he organized the force and he dealt with them. And that was the Battle of Nahrawan. The hadith in Sahih Muslim says, one person remained alive. Another report, Sahih mentions maybe a handful. So why is it that they were completely wiped out, these fruitcakes? Simple reason, Ali had a mandate. Rasulullah said, you will fight them. Because if I live long enough, I will wipe them out. Just like Qawm Ad was wiped out. Because Rasulullah told him, you can fight. He didn't hold back. And then what happened? In the Battle of the Camel, he wasn't fighting properly, Ali. He didn't want to fight. In the Battle of Siffin, he's the same. Only in the Battle of Nahrawan, around the age of 60, he unleashed. And what happened? See you later, mate. Wiped him out. And then what happened was, when he wiped him out, some of the other the Muslims on his side, they felt pity for the Khawarij. They thought, end of the day, they were Muslims. And they saw them just dead on the battlefield. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, don't feel pity for them. And then he says, I heard Rasulullah say, and he mentioned their leader, right? He goes, the leader of these men, he goes, one of his signs is that his arm will look like the breast of a woman. There's something wrong with his arm. He's a black, short, stinted man, something wrong with his arm, like the breast of a woman. Go and find him. So when they searched to find this shaitan, they couldn't find him. So when they came back to Ali, Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu, he said, I am not a liar. And the one who told me never lied. Go and find him. So they looked and they found him under some bodies. Because you found him, Amir al-Mu'mineen. So when Ali walked over to him, exactly like the Prophet described him, and the Prophet poked him, Ali poked him. He goes, Rasulullah always spoke the truth. After that, everybody thought, Alhamdulillah. So, and why was it an honor? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of you are those who killed the Khawarij. And the best of you are those who are killed by them. And Ali got both. He was the best. Khairun Nas, the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, these shaitans, this is their history. They came here. They became organized, and Ali had to deal with them, radiallahu. And the other thing, just to add to finish, before Ali launched into them, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu, he goes, let me go to the Amir al-Mu'mineen. Let me try and reason with them before you use force. He goes, maybe I can still bring them around. So Amir al-Mu'mineen feared for Ibn Abbas, because I don't trust them. So Ibn Abbas goes, they got nothing against me. He goes, let me go. So the Amir al-Mu'mineen said, okay. So he goes to their camp, Abdullah ibn Abbas, and he deliberately was wearing really expensive clothes, atar. So when he gets near Ibn Abbas, because I heard a buzzing sound. And what was the buzzing? They were reciting Quran. So when they see him from a distance, they go, oh, Ibn Abbas, marhaba, kum kum. So he enters and he goes, what brings you here, O cousin of the Prophet? So he tells him, he goes, what have you got against Amir al-Mu'mineen, the son-in-law of Rasulullah? So some of the Khawarij goes, don't talk to him. Others, a bit calmer, they goes, let's listen to what he has to say. What is the first thing Abdullah ibn Abbas told them? This is a Sahih Hadith in Nasa'i, Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Hakim Sahih. The first thing he tells them, why don't I see a single companion amongst you? Look how beautiful. Before he even discussed with anything with them, he's looking around, you know, 10,000. He says, there's no sahaba. That should have been enough for them. How can you be upon truth when none of you have seen the Prophet? But they went, no, let's discuss. And then he finished them off. It's a long narrative. I'll mention one. They goes, okay, why did he appoint judges when Allah Ta'ala, judgment belongs to him? So Ibn Abbas said, radiallahu anhuma, when a man and a woman, husband and wife, have problems, doesn't Allah Ta'ala say, appoint one judge from his family and one judge from her family and try to reconciliate? So the Khawarij looked at each other. He goes, yes. He goes, what's more important, bringing a husband and wife back together or the Ummah of Rasulullah? And like they said, they went, you got us on that one, right? And then he's just looking at them. Then he goes, what else? What's the other problem have you got? They goes, we fight and we don't get spoils. Because Amir al-Mu'mineen said, no spoils in the Battle of the Kaaba. These are Muslims. So Ibn Abbas said, who's going to take your mother as spoils? Aisha, if you consider her lawful, you become unbelievers. And then they lowered their heads. And then eventually the report says 2,000 or 3,000 came back. They saw the light. Ibn Abbas saved 2,000 or 3,000 of them. So note, he wasn't just straight into battle. And it also shows how shallow their understanding was. They even looked at him. Because why are you wearing nice clothes? Where's the zuhd? So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that, you know, why, you know, you should show the blessings of Allah. And then they said, don't talk to him. Don't talk to him. Subhanallah. So again here, the Khawarij. The reason I've mentioned it here is because they play a most pivotal part in Amr's life as well, radiallahu anhu. But we need to know a little bit about them. Where did they emerge as a fighting force? Why? And yes, it was all foretold by our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحانك بحمد سبحانك اللهم بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واذكر الله من شان الجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل من سبب في خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل الحق وواصل الصبر صدق الله